I'm doing something I've never done before. Preaching outside, on a farm, in a rural agricultural setting, just like Jesus. Who would have thought? Now, a farm like this brings back special memories for me because I grew up on a grain farm with some cattle and chickens and dogs and cats, always running around at your feet. As a young boy and a teenager, it was on the farm where some of my favorite memories of my dad are found. You see, I learned how to raise and care for young cattle and horses because my dad taught me those things. Around age 10, my dad taught me how to operate farm machinery and drive grain trucks and do basic mechanic work. Growing up on a farm was a whole lot of fun for a kid, and I'm grateful for the many lessons of life and work and faith that my dad taught and modeled to me. Now, we've been working at this sermon series that I've called Unmodern Family, and we focused on a variety of areas, starting with building on a firm foundation, which is Jesus. Intentional has been a key word in this teaching series. We've talked about being present with one another in a very distracted world. We've touched on the need to develop healthy rhythms in our family lives. And then last Sunday, Joel Berg spoke about communication and conflict. Next Sunday, Phil Pudlis is going to conclude this series. Now, Phil is a little further down the track, and Phil has lots of great experience in faith with his own family and in his work experiences. And Phil is going to preach from an Old Testament passage which reminds us that while Christian parents need to work at the right building blocks in their family, their children may still choose pathways that do not always honor the Lord or their parents. And for many parents with adult children who have chosen other pathways than a Christ-centered one, this message next Sunday is hopefully going to encourage you greatly. Today, with this family focus, I want to encourage our dads. Now, it's Father's Day, and while Father's Day, as Mother's Day, is not some magical Christian holiday, I believe dads have an important role in shaping their family for better or for worse. Now, often, if a preacher preaches a Father's Day sermon, it's for the purpose of beating them up and telling them how bad they are doing as dads and they better shape up. I promise that I'm not going to do that this morning. However, I do want to encourage our dads, and if there is a challenge in here somewhere, I want you to accept it as a nudge from the Holy Spirit and work on it. And the one verse that I want to focus on today is perhaps the most popular verse in the Bible and the most well-known verse around the world. It's found in John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For many years, I've read John 3:16 as an evangelistic verse where, as one understands what Jesus is saying about God's love through the gift of his Son, Jesus, and then believes in that love personally, eternal life awaits. And that's true. But if one glosses over that verse too quickly, one can forget about who speaks these words and the perspective from which they're speaking. You see, John 3:16 is spoken by Jesus, and he shares these words with a man named Nicodemus, a religious leader of the day who was well-educated, a great theologian, but who was curious and wanted to learn more about what Jesus taught. Nicodemus was clearly interested in learning about God, and he had some deeply personal questions that he wanted to ask Jesus. Because Jesus, he was known for his authoritative teaching. His was a kind of teaching that captivated people because it got to the heart of what really mattered. It wasn't merely theoretical with no application. It meant something. If people wanted to experience life change, all they had to do was apply Jesus' teaching. So when Nicodemus asked some faith questions to Jesus, Jesus not only taught Nicodemus about how to come to personal faith in God, Jesus spoke about the true nature and character of his Father. In other words, Jesus is speaking about his dad. Understanding it this way, one could read the verse something like this. For my dad so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Reading these familiar words from Jesus' perspective gives it a completely different feel. Jesus is saying, my dad is a loving dad. My dad is a giving dad. My dad is a dad who prepares a future for his children. In light of this perspective, let me ask our dads to reflect on one question as you build into your family. How would you like your children to describe you when you're not there anymore? Would it be a provider, a playmaker, a disciplinarian, a workaholic, a lover of their mom, an encourager, one who always made time for the important things, a prayer warrior, a spiritual leader? What would it be? In thinking about John 3:16, with Jesus' Father being our ultimate example, I want to encourage you to pursue these three areas that Jesus identifies when he speaks about his dad being loving, giving, and one who prepares his kids for the future. Jesus said, for God so loved the world. This is Jesus talking about his dad. And the entire scriptures are covered with verses that describe Jesus' dad's love, where we discover that his love is deep and high and wide and long and eternal. It had no beginning or no end. You and I, we don't have such a record of our love, but wouldn't it be great to begin a record of our love with our kids, where our kids can reflect back on the love that we showed as their father? And we can start by telling our kids that we love them. Do you know, when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, one of the amazing realities of that experience is that for everyone who witnessed Jesus' baptism, they heard a booming voice like thunder speak from the heavens. It was Jesus' Father telling the world how pleased he was with his son. He was so proud of his son. Dads, you and I can do this. We can grab our kids when we get home from work, and we can give them a hug or a kiss and tell them that we love them. Now, it's a little easier when they're smaller, I get that. I'm having a little more difficult time doing this with Colin because he's now 6 feet tall and he's going to hurt me if I do this. It's not like I'm hugging a little boy anymore. But dads, we can pour words of affirmation into our kids' lives as they go about their schooling, as they go about the different interests they have. We can encourage them to try new things because we believe in them. We can support them with words of encouragement when they're struggling. We can be present at their interests and the activities in which they find themselves. Maybe not everything, but we can make time for the most important things. We can be their cheerleader. We can be consistent with our discipline. That is a form of love. We can pray for them, and we can pray with them. Dads, we can love their mom like crazy, which is one of the greatest practical acts of love we can do for our kids. And then we can love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and walk faithfully with him. You see, to be a loving father in ordinary, practical, daily ways is of great value. But Jesus didn't stop there. He said, for God, my Father, so loved the world that he gave. And what did he give? His very own son, the ultimate sacrifice. Jesus' heavenly Father lavished his love upon us and gave it all generously and sacrificially. And it's truly difficult to imagine the depth of this kind of love and generosity. I have so far to grow in this area. Now, to be clear, this is not about giving your kid the material things of this world, everything they want or everything that you didn't get as a child. This is about giving of yourself, which is rooted in a deep love that you have for Jesus and for your family. It's about putting others' interests above your own. Don't think for a moment that God didn't love his son Jesus. He loved his son so much, but he knew that it was only through his son that others could also know the love of the Father. God's love, it is a generous and sacrificial love, seeking the welfare of others above their own. I think my dad is a little bit like this. My dad, he only had a grade 7 education, and he worked on the farm from a young boy until age 17. Then he went off to the city to work, and as the oldest son in a family of 12 siblings, he sent most of his income back to his parents so they could provide for all of his younger siblings, and he did that for the next 10 years, from age 17 to 27. When the recession hit in the 1980s, my dad both lost his job that he loved, and my parents got out of farming. From age 45 to 65, my dad worked for minimum wage jobs, yet he was always generous in helping others, and he sacrificed his own interests for other people. I've been able to pursue much of my education because of the start my mom and dad gave to me. My parents always supported missionaries and ministries that advanced the kingdom of God because they believed in those purposes. They gave 5 years to my brother to help parent his children when a marriage fell apart. Dad served the church faithfully as a deacon for years, even when it would have been easier to walk away from the challenges that come with church leadership. I never once heard him complain about the little they had, yet they were always giving. I never heard him begrudge the last 20 years of his working life, making very little, yet helping many people with the little they had. I never heard him speak ill of having to give so much time and energy to his 3 grandkids running around his house and the space in which he and Mom found themselves. I have much to learn. This past Christmas, Leanne and I succumbed to Malia's desire for a pet, and we got her a beautiful kitten, and she named her Nala. Nala's really nice. She's got a beautiful orange fur coat. She loves being with people and enjoys her naps in the sun. But Nala has also discovered the art of parkour. She uses one wall of our home as a springboard to get to a higher place on which she desires to rest. She accelerates with great speed, bouncing from one couch to leap to another, all while using extended claws for better traction. And every time this burst of adolescent exuberance happens, the repair list in my home grows. She's destroying my home, my space, my treasured possessions. And I get so frustrated. And then I think about what it means to give up my interests for the interests of others. And I realize I have such a long way to go in what truly matters. This is the kind of father we have. Jesus' dad was loving, he was giving. And then the last part of Jesus' words to Nicodemus are really significant. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. When Jesus spoke these words to Nicodemus, he was saying that his dad had prepared a future for Nicodemus' taking. It was a future that had both immediate and eternal implications. You see, living for Jesus is both about living for him now on this side of eternity, and it's about living with Jesus forever once this life passes away. All Nicodemus had to do was believe in the one who had been sent, Jesus the Son. Dads, we can and should prepare our kids for all kinds of things in this life. Right now, I'm teaching my kids how to work, how to manage money, how to drive cars, how to plan for future education, all kinds of practical things, good things. We need to be teaching our kids these things. But ultimately, the greatest gift that I can give to my children is to prepare them spiritually to live for Jesus today, so that when he returns again, they'll be prepared, waiting, watching, anticipating being able to live with Jesus forever. Dads, I want to encourage you to work intentionally at preparing your children to live for Jesus today and forever. Pray for them and with them. Read the Bible with them. Integrate everyday realities together with faith and scripture and your personal life lessons. Teach by example. One day, it comes sooner than we like to believe, our children are no longer going to be under our care, and our influence may lessen. So dads, what's one takeaway for you from how Jesus spoke about his father? Jesus said his father loves, gives, and prepares for the future. Would you take one of these areas and then turn it into a practical I will statement? I will love, and then fill in the blank. I will give, or fill in the blank. I will prepare my kids for the future by, and fill in the blank. Dads, on our own strength, we can't do this. But with God's help and the encouragement of others around us, we can do this. So let's keep loving our kids. Let's keep giving of self for our kids. And let's keep preparing our kids to live for Jesus both now and forever. I want to pray with you. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for an awesome day. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you so much for an awesome day. Thank you for the opportunity to enjoy the blessing of our fathers. Lord, we pray that you would strengthen and encourage each dad amongst our church family and beyond. I pray that you would give them wisdom and insight, grace, strength for each day. Would you help them to love, to give, to prepare in the way that you want them to? Lord, we are so grateful, and we just ask your blessing on our husbands and our dads today, that they might know your love in greater measure and live it out for themselves and for their families. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before you run away, here's a few thoughts from one family of guys and dads. I hope you enjoy, and happy Father's Day.